Good evening, lovers of the macabre. I'm Alma.
And I'm Lauren.
And this is
Morbid Possessions.
So today we have a very, very interesting story to tell you. Drumroll. The Ammons House.
AKA Demon House.
So this is a very interesting story. We haven't covered anything paranormal on the podcast yet. It's all been, serial killers, or we talked about like Michael Myers, but this is going to be our first.
We've even had our first cult leader.
We have, but no ghosts yet. So this is going to be
so much ghosts.
Well, no, they're demons. They're full blown demons. Demons.
Demons.
Demons.
Jesus Christ, help us.
Literally. Yeah,
that's what the priest would have said.
So the Ammon House was built in 1926. The address was 3860 Carolina Street in Gary, Indiana. It was a single-story home that contained three bedrooms, one bathroom, a living room, a small open kitchen, and a basement. A newlywed couple occupied the home when the house was first built, and once they passed, the home became a rental property, and in 2004, Charles Reed became the landlord to the rental home. So Latoya Adams moved into the home November of 2011 with her mother and her three children. About a month after they had moved in, strange things start happening in the house. December of 2011, Latoya's mom starts saying that there was an infestation of flies on the porch. And it's the dead of winter. Flies die out around that time.
Was like that scene in The Exorcist where the flies are like surrounding the priest's face. That's what I pictured.
I don't know if this is a real thing, but I feel like in Scary Movie there was a fly scene.
Yeah.
That's
the
what
second
I'm picturing.
One?
I don't even know.
I want to say the second one is the one that they talk about where they like mirror The Exorcist.
I think so. So Latoya's mother starts, she states that the porch is infested with flies. None of the neighbors had flies, but for some reason their home had hundreds, if not thousands, of flies hovering over their porch. And no matter how much they killed the flies, they would still remain and swarm on the porch.
And there were so many flies that other members of their family that weren't living in the home thought that they had died.
Oh.
Because there were so many flies.
Yeah, fly infestations, I don't know, that's demons. Those are demons.
I told you about the time that we came home from Mexico and there were flies all over my house and they were big horse flies. And I was like, that's it. We're all gonna die.
Ugh,
we're burning the place to the ground.
Flies. So they begin hearing odd noises coming from the basement, including the stairs. The basement doors are creaking. The basement door starts opening by itself even when it's locked. And they even claimed that there were wet footprints that would trace throughout the basement. They attempted to ignore the sounds and they tried to rationalize that it was an old house, so surely those noises were coming from it being an old house.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever rationalize. It's demons.
It's demons. It's a ghost. Just kidding. In this case, it's demons.
Doors began slamming, objects began moving. The mother reported seeing a shadowed figure in their home. She claims that she saw the wet footprints throughout the house, especially after encountering a shadow figure in the room. She said she saw this shadow figure multiple times. I don't believe this was just a shadow man. This is like fucking demonic.
The full body apparitions itself is just terrifying because, you know, anytime you're talking about the paranormal, you're talking about ghosts, they don't have that kind of energy to just appear like that.
Unless you say Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice. Where the fuck is he? It's showtime.
So, the children are missing so much school at this time that due to not being able to sleep at night with all the odd things occurring that the family members began claiming that, I don't know, this is such a tough situation because the kids weren't going to school, so eventually the law was going to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
So during this time, the family members started saying that there was something that would push them or poke at them. The oldest son reported being thrown across one of the rooms, and the youngest son reported being thrown out of the bathroom. The daughter also claimed to be thrown around by dark shadows. So then on March 10th, 2012, Latoya Ammons called Rosa Campbell, the grandma. And when Rosa entered the room, to her shock, well, I've heard that there was multiple people in the home at this time. So she called her in there, and they saw the 12-year-old daughter levitating over her bed. And that's when everyone that was in the home ran in there and started praying for her. And when the little girl woke up, she didn't remember anything.
I'm sorry. If I see a 12-year-old...
I'm running. I'm gone.
Just a 12-year-old. Not even them levitating, just them there. You're running? Children scare you that much?
No. If I see a child levitating, I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah. No, I don't understand why anyone would run into that room. I'm running out of that house, out of this planet. We're running to the next universe.
I don't
fuck that.
Care if we're related. I don't care if you're my child. I'm leaving you. I mean, unless...
Every person for themselves.
If it's Spell, I'm grabbing her. That's the only person I would stop
for. Would
you
do it for Salem?
I don't know.
He loves you so much. Okay, I would save Spell, bitch. No, where your loyalties lie. Not with me.
Spell sleeps with me every night, though.
Salem sleeps with me every night.
So,
if I could sleep with you every night, I'd cuddle with you.
Thanks. I'm just kidding. So, the Ammons were said to be possessed during this time. The whole family. The children's eyes would bulge out or roll to the back of their heads, and they would talk in a deep, unusual voice that was not their own. They would hiss, snarl, and bark like animals. One of the boys began saying evil comments to the others, such as, "I will kill you, and it's time to die." They had sinister looks on their faces, and the smaller 7-year-old boy had an imaginary friend who he would sit with, and he would talk with him in the closet. If I've learned anything from horror movies, is if a little kid has a best friend that's imaginary, especially if they go in the closet to talk together, it's a fucking ghost. I'm out.
Oh, it's a demon at that point.
Yeah, or a demon. I'm out. They can have the kid.
Take him. Nope. Don't want him.
So the 12-year-old girl began reporting that she was being held down by invisible forces, and she was being choked to the point where she was becoming paralyzed and she would lose her breath. The voices would tell her she would never see her family again, and she's not going to live another 20 minutes while they would choke her. The entities would slam her head against her bed's headboard to the extent where she once had to get stitches on the injury because of the attacks. Little girl claimed to feel out of control at times and would feel weak and lightheaded and warm when she would claim to be possessed. So during this time, Latoya and her mother began trying to contact churches to seek help. Eventually, they did find a pastor, Father Maginot, who was willing to come to the home to help the little girl. He recommended cleaning the home with ammonia, which I don't get why ammonia would get rid of.
Wouldn't that just cause delusions a little bit more?
Maybe.
This is adding to my theories.
So he said to draw crosses on the windows and doors with oil. Which makes sense, because when you do cleansings, you do want to focus on doors, windows, and even power outlets to prevent entities from entering the space. So the pastor told them to pour oil on their hands and feet and draw crosses on their foreheads with oil, which does make sense because you can do anointing oil. But what I found is that he was telling them to use olive oil. So this is where it gets a little odd for me.
Start using chef hand?
Yeah. Like,
Mamma mia, the demons.
Mamma mia, the demons. Mwah, delicioso.
Jeez.
No, the oil completely makes sense, but you can't just get random olive oil and expect it to get rid of the demons. It has to be anointed.
Yeah, that's why I was like, is it holy oil? That would make more sense than just...
It doesn't sound like it was holy.
Like, hey, let's go to Ralph's. I almost said Sprouts.
Ralph's doesn't even exist anymore.
Yes, it does.
Oh. I haven't seen one of those since the 90s.
There's one down the street.
So that didn't help so much. So they contacted two psychics, two clairvoyants, and they entered the home, and they claimed that the home had over 200 demons inhabiting it. They told the Ammons family to move, but they were they couldn't afford at the time to move out, so they had no other option. So the psychics suggested that they sage their home and soul for it and create an altar in the basement with crosses and other Christian relics.
I thought sulfur was a sign of demons.
Sulfur, the smell of sulfur is a sign of demonic
presence.
So I don't understand why they said that either.
The place that I grew up in, there's a mountain called Sulfur Mountain, and it does smell like sulfur.
That's disgusting.
And we got to go on a field trip one time. We had to go geocaching. Do you know what that is?
Fish, like tagging fish?
No, it's like a outdoor scavenger hunts, kind of.
Oh.
And it sucked. I had a hike.
Ew.
That was disgusting.
It sounds disgusting because it smelled like sulfur.
Yeah.
So they got a table and they covered it with a white cloth. They placed an open Bible on it and placed a figure of Virgin Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. Joseph and Jesus. The Bible was open to Psalm 94 with lines 22 to 23 state, "But the Lord has become my fortress and my God, the rock in whom I take refuge. He will repay them for their sins and destroy them for their wickedness. The Lord our God will destroy them." So it was open to that page. So during this time, due to the children missing so much school and obviously rumors of violence and oddities of the girl has stitches on her head, mm-hmm. CPS showed up at their home. So during a CPS visit, one of the case managers, Valerie Washington, and a psychologist witnessed one of the boys charge at the grandmother, headbutt her several times, and the grandmother Rosa says to the boy, "You're not my grandson," and he turns and grimaces at her with an evil smile right before he climbs up the wall backwards. And then he freezes there and just stands there. On the wall.
No.
Upside down.
We run out of the room. We throw up. We do not stay in that room. We do not try to help him down. He's gone to the demons now. Leave him.
That's it. There's nothing you can do. His soul is gone.
I don't want him.
Send I don't him want back. Him.
Send him back.
Can I return this one?
It's broken.
So, Valerie later stated that he walked up the wall backwards and he just stood there, defying gravity. She claimed something was occurring in the home and that it was out of the realm of a normal person. Valerie and the psychologist ran out of the room when this occurred. Valerie refused to return to the home. Good for Valerie.
Yeah.
So police officers...
Wait, was it that she went to the house or was that this was in the hospital?
This was at the house, but they did go to the hospital right after this occurred.
Okay.
So then, after that, police officers did a wellness check on the family after the children returned from the hospital, and Captain Charles Austin says he witnessed strange things occur in the home that led him to believe that what was going on in the home was supernatural. He noticed when he was at the home that there was an aluminum pan underneath the staircase with a candle inside of it, which he thought was odd. He began taking pictures with his iPhone, which later on he saw dark shadows in the pictures. He also captured a detached voice on a recording that did not belong to anyone in the home, and he heard it say hey.
When I heard it, I wanted to cry.
It was a creepy hey, though.
But there was like a little bit more sound behind that. A little bit more force.
So that night when he left, his car also malfunctioned and the garage door refused to open for the home. CPS eventually took the kids away from LaToya, but they returned after 6 months. They brought in a Catholic priest, Father Maginot, that performed at least 3 exorcisms on the family members, none which really helped. Father Maginot called the home a portal to the demons. He says that LaToya had an aversion to sanctimonious items. During one of the exorcisms, the police went downstairs and they dug up the area underneath the stairs where there was like... So underneath the stairs, it was all concrete, but for some reason directly underneath the stairs, it was a little cube of dirt.
And when you look at it, for the most part, It's not like a completely unfinished basement.
It's not. It was a completely finished. It was like almost finished. So
there was even a bedroom down there.
It was that square there, that patch was done on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So when they dug up underneath the stairs, they found a press-on nail, which was pink, women's underwear, a comb, two children's socks, a heavy bar, and a red tin. And while they were down there, the blinds started dripping oil, but when they tried to find the source of it, they couldn't find it. A CPS worker who was there touched the oil, and as soon as she touched it, they said that all the blood in her hand was drained, and her hand went completely white. She began complaining about pain, and she had to leave. Father Maginot believes someone performed necromancy there at some point. The paranormal activity did not truly stop until they finally moved out of the home.
I want to know why they didn't dig down further, because I know that they had only dug down like the it was only like the first layer of dirt that they had scraped up. So if you had dug down any farther, you could have possibly found a body.
There could have been a body down there.
And I don't understand. And it's, if you look at it, it's a perfect size for a child's body. I know that sounds disgusting and awful to say right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was rumors that there was a lot of devil worshiping that was done down there. Obviously, they're finding candles and items, and they were probably even, I don't know, women's panties. They were raping women and killing them or
so the
doing
thing
something
with
down
Gary,
there.
Indiana. I've been there. Fun fact. It's a very, very poverty-stricken town.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every house that you pass by that's not packed with people, because you can tell that they're full of people
mm-hmm.
living in one area, they are boarded up, covered in graffiti. Like, it looks like something out of an apocalypse movie. It really does. Fun fact. This is actually a fun fact. Michael Jackson was born there.
I did not know that. But they do have
that's why
one of the highest crime rates there, too, mm-hmm. I heard.
And the highest homicide rate.
Wow.
It's a whole lot of murder.
Yeah, there's a lot of squatters there, too, which we're getting to now.
With all that comes drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And comes another point that I'm going to bring up later.
So, after the Ammons moved out, shortly after, Zach Bagans bought the home. And he filmed a documentary at the home titled Demon House.
Do you want to go into who Zach Bagans is?
Zach Bagans.
The love of my life.
Oh, shit. Zach Bagans, he does ghost adventures. He owns the Haunted Museum in Las Vegas, which I absolutely fucking love, and I will get to that later.
I want to go. Take me, please.
He does so much. He mm-hmm. has his own TV show. He has little spinoffs like artifacts. He collects so many items. He honestly has a huge collection. Like, he's starting to become like, well, he doesn't perform exorcisms or anything like that, but mm-hmm. he's starting kind of to become like up there with the Warrens when it comes to having his collection.
And he even has some of the Warrens items now.
Yeah. So I love the Haunted Museum. I love everything about it. I will be returning to the Haunted Museum in 2 weeks probably when I'm in Vegas, so that'll be fun.
I'm gonna go.
If you know Zach, tell him I'm coming. I'm a coming. I hate myself.
I'm glad you said it.
So, right before buying the house, Zach claims to have had a dream with a huge goat man that inhaled black smoke into Zach in his dream. After having the dream, people began contacting Zach about the Ammons home, and he went and he bought it the next day. Squatters had moved into the home after the Ammons had left. A psychic told Zach that they had a vision of a demon guardian in the home that resembles a goat very similar to the one Zach had a dream about. At this point, Zach had not told anyone about this dream. A few weeks after buying the home, Zach became sick for 8 days to the point where he couldn't leave his room. Father Maginot told the film crew to protect themselves in the home with crucifixes and other forms of protection. Zach refused to do the protection, being that he wanted the full paranormal experience, allegedly. That's what I read online.
But he has even admitted that he will go in there without pretty much anything to protect himself because he wants to experience it.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are you going to put yourself in harm's way?
No. I totally 100% see where he's coming from.
I'm sorry. If we go to the Haunted Museum ever together, I'm having a crucifix with me. We're carrying some holy water. I'm saying the Lord's Prayer as I'm walking through.
Don't be so dramatic.
I am.
Well, maybe, okay. When we get
on. Have you met my mom?
When we get to my segment that's later on in this episode, then maybe I might agree with that. But I am an adrenaline junkie, so it's okay with me.
There's enough.
It's
adrenaline.
Okay for me to get a little bit of a demon inside of me.
Ew. Oh my, you're a lesbian.
That did not come out right. God damn.
Quite literally.
Okay. So, Zach tracks down somehow Latoya Ammons to her new home, and it's about 150 miles away from the demon house. But she refuses to speak to him due to him having been in the home. She believes that the evil that is in the home could have attached itself to him. One of the family members agrees to talk to Zach, and he describes how it affected the kids and recalls a time the boys started attacking each other and they had to pry them off of each other. They were talking in a different voice, and one of the boys told the grandmother, "Get your fucking hands off of me, bitch," which they said was completely out of the kid's character. So he also recalled a time where he was watching the kids for a few days and they began chanting in the living room. He claims it started with one of the boys, and then he stopped while the other one picked up the creepy chant. And then when they stopped, the girl, picked up the creepy chant. So after he talked to Zach, the other members of the family refused to let Kevin into the home, being that the evil could have attached itself to him. So while they're filming, a woman stops by the home. And she claims that she lived there in the 90s when she was a child, when she was around 10.
Mm-hmm.
Her brother used to live in the basement, and he died from being shot.
And he was in the back basement.
In the bottom basement room.
When she had said that he had died by a gunshot wound, I don't know why, but I had full body chills where I was feeling physically ill.
Yeah, because later on we came to find out that a little boy had died in the basement room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure how.
We just know that he
did pass down there. So her brother in the basement died after being shot. When she came and she's all Zach, she brought her three kids along with her, and her daughter, Erica, did the mistake of touching the blinds upstairs. 3 weeks after she touched it, she threatens her mother to kill her in her sleep and attempts suicide by taking a bunch of pills and stabbing her wrist with a pen in a way that resembled stigmata. They had to perform an exorcism on her.
Do you want to go into what stigmata actually is?
Stigmata is basically what Jesus had when he was crucified on the cross. Mm-hmm. On his hands, how they put the nails through his palms. So she did that to herself, but instead on her wrists.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. So Zach had
even said, like, hey, are you okay with them coming in and being on camera? And, like, just so you know, like, this house is to be said to have over 200 demons.
And she said, yeah, just be careful.
Just be careful. How are you going to protect yourself against demons, dude?
Even
with crucifixes and holy oil
really,
and water.
You really can't protect yourself.
No.
But you can to a small extent.
You can avoid the fuck out of that place.
Yeah. So Zach is seen throughout the documentary becoming agitated and lunging at people, and it's showing that the house is having an effect on him. A lot of people who enter the home had a string of bad luck and experiences. Valerie Washington, the Ammons caseworker, got 3 broken ribs jet skiing, 3rd-degree burns from a motorcycle, and she also got a broken arm from hitting it on a table and a broken ankle running within the same month. A house inspector had a tree nearly fall on his car as he was driving home from leaving the house and reported being choked in his sleep later that night by an unseen force. He also developed cancer shortly after. Dr. Taft, who visited Zach to check on the geomagnetic frequency of the home, also fell ill and was hospitalized during the filming of the documentary. One of the film crew members, Adam, became possessed and was forced to leave the project. He now has 666 tattooed on him, and it's said that his life has changed drastically. He claimed to have seen a goat man in the elevator of the hotel that they were staying in during while they were filming, and he said that the goat man was there for Zach. While filming, Zach had extreme eye pain throughout the documentary when he was in the house, and he developed diplopia and now has to wear prism glasses. After they finished filming in 2016, Zach had the home torn down. So that's all I'm going to say about Demon House. It's so good. Just watch it yourself.
Yeah, I definitely recommend it. It's on Amazon Prime, and mm-hmm. It's also free on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I definitely recommend that. Watch it. I'm not going to give you guys all the details. You just got to watch it for yourself.
All right, guys. So Alma has some fun stories for us. Well, a story.
Yeah.
So, earlier
this year, I believe it was around January the 1st or the 2nd, I went to the Haunted Museum in Vegas with my 2 cousins, Myra and Mary. When I visited the Haunted Museum, we entered the first room and automatically affected by one of the dolls that was in the room. I felt uneasy, lightheaded, and as I was looking at the doll and I was in the room, I didn't feel right. I had to gather myself and force myself to look away. After a few minutes of collecting myself and trying not to pay attention towards the doll, I finally began to feel better. We went up to the room that had Bela Lugosi's mirror after, and they have us all line up. If you want to, you can. They pull off a curtain that's covering the mirror. And if you want to look at yourself in the mirror, you can. But they say that a lot of people feel sick when they look at themselves in this mirror. So my cousin Mary decides to go first. As soon as she walks up, I'm looking at her. And my cousin Myra's also watching her because we're both fans, huge fans of Bela Lugosi. And we're not
Dracula.
So we're not really paying attention that we're both doing it at the same time. We're just kind of intrigued. So as soon as my cousin Mary walks up and looks at herself in the mirror and we watch her look at herself, we instantly feel sick, like something's not right. And we both look at each other and we feel disgusted. We assume it's the mirror. And I began preparing myself because I wasn't going to miss my opportunity to look at myself in Bela Lugosi's mirror. So as soon as I walk up and I look at myself, I don't feel anything. And then when Myra, my cousin, walks up, she doesn't feel anything either. We both thought it was odd, but we didn't think too much into it. So then this is where stuff starts to get bad. We go into the next room and it has a doll named Peggy. Our group is instructed to greet the doll when we enter the room. And we also have to say goodbye to it. So when we enter the room, we greet the doll. My cousin Myra jokes and tells the doll to say, "Hi, Mary." We start hearing a radio. They have like this radio in front of it and it's static.
It's the spirit box. So it goes quickly through all radio channels,
yeah,
trying to pick up some kind of frequency where it will form words.
Yeah. So as soon as she says that, we audibly hear the radio say, "Hi, Mary," multiple times. We leave the room, we say goodbye to Peggy, and I was kind of like, whatever, someone's probably staging that shit. Mm-hmm. So we say goodbye to her and we leave, and things really start to take a turn at this point. Like, we should have left. So as we wait to go into the next room, we're standing in this hallway with a tour guide and everyone else who's in our group who we don't even know. And Mary starts crying and saying that the doll's lonely and she doesn't want to be by herself. And she starts saying she wants to go back in there, take the doll with her. And we're all kind of looking at each other, and me and Myra are looking at each other, and we're just, I don't know, we're a little bit detached, so we're kind of like, dude, shut up, like, you're embarrassing us, like, shut up.
Can I stop drawing attention to me now?
Like, you're making us kind of uncomfortable. Your possession is making us really uncomfortable, dude. Can you just dial it back a notch?
Wow, Alma didn't even foreshadow, she just told the story.
So,
newsflash. Mary was not herself.
We're all looking at each other, thinking, like, Mary, shut the hell up. But she's being dead serious. So we enter another room, which I've been told has been closed off since that time, because I think too many people were being affected in this room and getting nauseous, to my knowledge. So we enter the room, and Charles Manson's hospital gown was in this room. So my cousin Mary's becoming nauseated in the room, and she's saying that it smells like sulfur, basically. She says it smells like, and my cousin Myra's like, ass? And we're all cracking up in there at her, but it's just so...
Like, she's scared.
She's scared, but we're just so fucking detached, and we don't know how to handle the situation, mm-hmm. that we're, like, laughing at it.
And I don't think hasn't even hit you what's going on at this point.
Oh, no, it has, because I don't want to stand near her.
Oh, okay.
She's completely pale, disoriented, lost, confused. Like, she's not there. She's saying it smells like sulfur. It's so bad that Mary got escorted out of the room by one of the tour guides. And I didn't want to stand next to her. She was ghastly white. She was quiet after this, disoriented. She eventually returned to the group. We continued our tour. We enter a room, finally, that contains the Ammon staircase, which, surprisingly, wasn't that bad in there. I didn't feel anything in there. There was a foreign couple with us in our group. It seemed like they were probably from South America. They were making out the whole time.
Yikes, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah. So they were even making out, leaning against the staircase and touching it.
Bro, are you trying to get possessed?
Dude, I was just like, they're fucking gonna get possessed. They're gonna die on their drive home. But we never heard anything about that, so who knows what happened to them. So eventually we make it to the end of our tour, and we end up in the gift shop, and we purchase sage. I cleanse all of us in the parking lot, especially after all that, and, like, I say a Latin prayer. And we had to do it, like, not in the parking lot, but right outside of the parking lot, mm-hmm. like, right outside the gate, just because I don't think we could have fire on the parking lot or something like that. So we stepped out of respect and just, like, went in the street. Mm-hmm. As soon as we start finishing up, police officers pull up and they're asking us if we've seen this guy. Mm-hmm. And we all answer no, and Mary tells him, oh yeah, he went that way. If you turn left, he's over there. And we look at her and we're like, no, don't listen to her. Like, she doesn't know what she's talking about. So as soon as when we pulled out, we found out, had they made a left, it was a one-way, and they would have went into oncoming traffic. There was no way to turn left there. So,
I know I've heard this because you've told me the story before, but it's still so, like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. So when we're done cleansing, we get into my car. My cousin's driving my car for the night because I'm just, like, hanging out. I'm on vacation. I'm not going to drive. So as soon as
I thought you were gonna tell me you were day drinking, and I was like, don't we all when we're on vacation?
I probably was, to be honest. So as soon as we were about to cross the property line out of the parking lot, we hear something attach itself to my car. It sounds as if because I'm in the passenger seat, so it sounds like something's in the back seat or on the trunk of my car, and it's so heavy that you can hear the metal lurching down. Mary starts crying and yelling at Myra to drive, and I'm asking Mary, like, what's in the back seat with you? And I'm looking back, and we're all frantic, and she's crying, and she's yelling, drive, 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 drive. So we sped off, and then eventually it kind of sounded like something detached off a little bit from what I remember. So at this point, I don't want to be around Mary anymore. No offense, Mary, if you're listening, but I was done.
Mary, I don't know you. I already kind of love you because you went through this experience, and I'm so sorry you did, but I would have left your ass on the side of the road.
So despite this, we still go to dinner. We still bring her along with us to dinner. And
what did the demon eat while they were there?
I don't even remember what they ate.
Mary, what did you eat?
So,
do you remember?
Mary, during this time, she was living with her parents. Mm-hmm. My mom was staying with their parents over the weekend too. Okay. And I was staying at my cousin Myra's. So we go to drop her back off at her parents where my mom is. So that night, we slept with all of the lights on in the house, me and my cousin. And then I wake up at around 6 a.m. to my cousin waking me up. And I have a bunch of missed calls from my mom. And she says she woke up to my mom blowing up her phone. Apparently my mom comes from a small ranch in Mexico. She grew up very religious, innocent, doesn't really know too much about life. Like, she's super innocent. So my cousin explains to me how my mom called, and she said that when Mary got there, she was sick and she was scared to sleep. So my mom went and she did the sign of the cross on her forehead and prayed. And as soon as my mom did this, she started throwing up black stuff in the bathroom. Her mother was also there because she leaves for work around like 3 a.m. or something. So she was already getting up and getting ready to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
So she was there, and she said that something tried to attach itself to Mary. My mom prayed and prayed, and eventually Mary fell asleep. So she called us and explained what happened, and she told us that Mary was possessed. And that's completely out of her nature to say something like that, and she would never make anything up like that. So we were terrified. We started looking up for churches to exorcise her. We tried to contact the Haunted Museum and Zach, but we were never able to contact them. And I actually have this clip that I have from my mom. Mm-hmm. I asked her, it's in Spanish, but I can translate it after. It's not too long at all.
Okay.
¿Te acuerdas lo que pasó esa noche cuando fuimos a Las Vegas con Mari? ¿Me puedes decir qué pasó ese día?
Ese día ella llegó del museo, llegó llorando. Llegó diciendo que una mona la llamaba. Y yo la persiné y ella se fue a vomitar al baño y vomitó cosas negras. Y después, y tenía mucho miedo irse a dormir y luego yo me fui con ella y la persiné y bendije la cama y ya ella se durmió tranquila.
¿Y qué estaban diciendo de la mona?
Que estaba endemoniada, que quería apoderarse de su alma.
So basically what she said was, I asked her, do you remember what happened that night when we went to Las Vegas with Mary? Can you tell me what happened that day? And she said that day she arrived from the museum crying, saying that a doll was calling to her. And I did the sign of the cross on her, and she went into the bathroom and started throwing up black stuff, which is honestly demonic. Afterwards, she was scared to sleep, so I went with her, and I did the sign of the cross on her and blessed the bed, and she finally fell asleep. And then I asked her, and what were you saying about the doll? And she says that it had a demon and it wanted to take over Mary's soul. So.
Nope. Nope. Mary.
Bye. So that day we were leaving, because we had been in Vegas for a couple of days now. So it was the day that we were going to come back home. Okay. So I did my best and I saved my cousin Myra's house because she had to leave to work. I saged my car to make sure nothing had attached itself, and then I went to my aunt and uncle's house where my mom and Mary were. When I arrived, I tried to sage the home, but I could not light the sage. For some reason, the sage would not light. Every time it was slightly lit, it would go out. So at that point, I just got my mom's stuff. I put her in the car and I left because I was already done.
You're like, I already staged my area. We're like, fine.
If the sage isn't lighting, what am I going to do? That's demons.
Throw salt at them.
So I was scared something had attached itself to me and a freak accident would happen on the way home. So I was kind of nervous the whole way driving, but nothing happened. So when I got home,
I love you. And I don't know what I would do if we hadn't met. I'd be really bored right now.
Drinking White Claw by yourself.
Yeah.
So when I got home, I watched Demon House for the first time and I slept like a baby. I fell asleep to it. But Mary's doing fine now. She has two jobs and she's doing great for herself. So yay, Mary.
Yay, Mary.
And yay, Mary, for letting me share this story.
Thank you, Mary. I hope you're not possessed anymore.
She's not.
Are we sure about this?
Probably. I'll see her in 2 weeks,
Mary,
so we'll know.
Mary, you don't have to go back to the Haunted Museum.
Mary's not going back to the Haunted Museum ever. Unless me and Myra are bored and we want to entertain ourselves.
That's entertaining? I'm just kidding. Oh my god. Remind me never to go with her.
We have a very dark sense of humor.
That you do.
Me and my cousin are terrible together.
I can't wait to meet her one day.
You'll love her.
Yeah. So I did some evidence, like, on why this didn't happen.
Okay. Oh, why the Ammons family didn't happen.
Yes, huh? Not Mary. Okay. We're not going to tell Mary that didn't happen.
Okay.
That's fucked up. Okay. So have you ever heard of, it's like folie à deux. It's basically like hallucinations of two.
Okay.
Another word for it is shared psychosis. It's a psychiatric syndrome which causes symptoms of delusion, disbelief, and sometimes hallucinations. They are transmitted from one individual to another. Stress and social isolation are the main contributors. When we are socially isolated, the few people we talk to become extremely important and therefore more trustworthy. So that could explain, and I want to come at this not because I don't believe it. I believe it. Believe.
Wait,
I'm afraid of demons.
What do you mean? Because they had been isolated, they started creating a shared experience within the home?
That's what someone could argue, that this could have been a shared experience.
Well, yeah, but there's also things in psychology where they have personality disorders and mass hysteria and hallucination that have to do with certain cultures, but it doesn't mean that what they experience
is. No, I'm not saying at all that that's what it was. I'm saying that this could be something that someone would argue.
But there's also ways to show, like, when you see a hallucination, when you claim to see a ghost, there are certain parts in the brain, certain neurotransmitters that activate. Mm-hmm. So when you look at it from a scientific standpoint, yeah, you have this evidence to back it up, medically speaking,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't take away from the experience at all. So it just depends on the way you look at it.
Because when I was hearing about the case itself before I watched the documentary,
mm-hmm.
I really did think they're bullshitting.
Honestly, it's so back and forth with certain things, and then there's like Hollywood and there's money involved, that there is that aspect where they very well could be mm-hmm. lying.
And she had a history of the children missing school and cops being called, and the second that the cops were called, she demoned up. Instead of lawyering up, she demoned up.
But before, she had a abusive boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So that could have very well had something to do with the children missing school. Because even at one point, Zach thought, well, what if it's the abusive ex-boyfriend right. who put a curse on the family?
Right. Also, carbon monoxide can give you a false sense of euphoria and confusion, making some delusional and susceptible to persuasion.
There was evidence that there could have been a carbon monoxide leak, and there was black mold in the home as well.
Mm-hmm. And black mold can cause unexplained illnesses, difficulty breathing, cognitive disturbances, drowsiness, aches and pains, along with other symptoms.
So there are a lot of different factors here as to it could have been caused by these things, but then the geomagnetic energy when they sent in Dr. Taff, which you'll see in the Demon House documentary.
Which I just loved him the entire time. I was like, I just want to hug him for some reason. He seems like the sweet baby angel.
You're a weirdo, but okay.
You don't ever have that feeling. Like, when I look at you, I'm like, I want to hug her because I love her.
Okay, but that's different. You don't just see a strange man and you're like, oh, he's a sweet baby angel.
I'm a good judge of character.
Okay. All right.
Kind of.
Well, because there was no geomagnetic energy throughout the house, but then when he got to a certain part, the geomagnetic energy spiked, and then it came to be found that Zach was creating this geomagnetic energy, and they said, I believe it was like a million to a billion times out of the normal range for humans. Yeah. And when Zach lunged at him and when spiked. He was getting aggressive, it was spiking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not normal.
Anytime I watch Zach lunging at him, I laugh because it looks so staged.
I mean, yeah.
He's like,
but what do you kind of I mean, either way, it's going to look fake.
I know, but it was just like, I didn't expect him to resemble a cartoon when he did it. I'm not saying the situation is fake. I'm saying from a science aspect.
From a scientific point of view, there are scientific reasons that could explain
exactly.
It. Yeah, I'm unsure as to... I'm not going to say that someone lied, and I'm not going to say that it's true, but I know that there's stuff out there because I've seen shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to leave it up to the listeners. Perspective.
Yeah, and we want to know what you guys think. Do you think it was really haunted? And was the house possessed? And that's one thing to me. I was really shocked that they were saying that it was the house and not the people, because demons normally follow people and not houses.
No, that was definitely the house.
Yeah.
That was the house.
Well, just normally, like, when you hear cases of demonic possession, it's never the demons are in the house. It's the demons are with a person.
It depends on the situation, because sometimes if the demon's attached to you, it will follow you wherever you go. Mm-hmm. But sometimes demons or entities can't leave the location that they're at.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, let me know. Let me know if you want to hear some more haunting stories, because I got plenty of them.
I want to hear them. Please tell me later. We'll drink White Claw and talk scary stories.
So you cannot sleep all night?
I have Salem. We're fine. He loves me.
All right. So
he keeps the demons away.
We do have some updates on the shirts. Lauren, do you want to tell them?
They're here.
They are here.
Our possession.
Just finished packing them up. So
for those who had their pre-orders, those are coming to you within the next few days.
Yeah, I'm going to start contacting people and delivering them this weekend since I'm off for the next 2 days. Also, we're going to figure out our online store this weekend, so we'll have that up this weekend, which is super exciting. And yeah.
I'm so happy.
Yeah. Do you have any other comments, Lauren?
Patricia, if you're listening, I love you. She's my coworker, and she tells me that she listens to our podcast.
I have a coworker who listens as well. I'm not going to mention his name, but thanks for listening. All right, you guys. Well, it's been real. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you want to hear more haunted stories. Let me know. I might sprinkle some through here and there and give you guys little treats.
Yes.
If you guys want to listen to. But let me know. Otherwise, I'm not going to do it if you guys don't comment and interact with us.
Come on, guys.
All right. Stay morbid.
Bye.
Bye.